Hey, greetings everybody, it's Brother Two Posts, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 Radio. Hope you're having a great day. We just had a big storm pass, now we got some sun shining, been working on some teachings. My street preach got rained out today. Want to talk to you about this teaching, I hope I can pull this off. Doctrinal sin versus sins of the flesh. Doctrinal sin versus sins of the flesh. This is a topic that it comes up loosely, roughly, when people call me, email me, talk to me in the streets. Because I expose false teachers and false doctrine, which the Bible tells me to do, people will often tell me that because I do that, because I expose false doctrine, they'll say that I don't show no mercy, I don't show any grace for people's sin. Now, I'm going to show you that I think that's false. Both, I think it's false that I don't show people grace and mercy. And I also think it's false because we're not supposed to show grace and mercy for false teaching. Let's talk about this. I think they have it very confused. Doctrinal sin versus fleshly sin. Now, I want to say right up front that all sin is evil and rebellion against God, transgression against God, and it all will damn you. But not all sin is the same. It's not viewed the same by God, and it's not dealt with the same by God while we're alive here on earth. I'm going to prove that to you in Scripture. All right? Now, the first thing, let's get it clear. We all can sin, including me. Romans, and we all have sinned. Romans 3, 22-24. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Okay, so let's get that straight. I know I can sin, I can choose it, I can walk in it, I can teach it. That's what we're going to talk about. I understand, as a street preacher and a teacher online, that we all need God's grace. We've ruined our perfect righteousness. We need Christ's perfect righteousness. We've all sinned against him. And we need to both give it to get it, right? We need to give grace and mercy to get it, right? Jesus taught that. Forgive to be forgiven. And we all can fall short in our flesh. But what I want to talk about is the difference between falling short in your flesh and willfully teaching false doctrine. God hates all willful acts of sin. We know that. But I want to read something to you and kind of show you a little picture into God's heart. Ready? Proverbs 6:16-19. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. These are an abomination. You know, people always say homosexuality is an abomination. Yeah, and they always forget about these. They're ready to condemn the homosexuals, which it is sinful, no doubt. But they forget about these. Ready? A proud look. Is pride something you just kind of stumble in one day, or is it something you put on and walk in? Oh, you put on and you walk in it. How you dress, how you act, how you speak, how you view yourself. How about a lying tongue? When was the last time you told a lie just out of the blue and you didn't mean to? I don't think that happens very often. Lies are definitely planned and willful. How about hands that shed innocent blood? When was the last time? I can't remember the last time I killed anybody and I didn't mean to. Well, I've never physically killed anyone. I think you see the point on that one. How about a heart that devised wicked imaginations, feet that be swift into running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, more lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Go read Proverbs 6:16-19 again and ponder it. Notice all those are what? They're not fleshly acts that you just kind of stumbled into, a thought that popped in your head, a feeling you had. No, these are willful acts that you know better about. This is willful sin. We'll get to a verse on willful sin. So we see God's heart. The things that are abomination to God are not the things that you struggle with in your flesh, but the things that you do willful, and it kind of has to do with doctrine too, because all of those are doctrines of God, right? He doesn't want us to kill. He doesn't want us to lie. He doesn't want us to be proud and have pride, right? That's the original sin, Satan falling from heaven, right? So moving on from that, consider that. That's God's heart. I personally believe and know that I always give grace and mercy, and I will always strive to help people out of their flesh, and I will always look to forgive sin of people. When they see it, they repent of it, they're striving to flee it, they decide to leave it, I'm there, 7 times 70. I get it. I need that too. But Jesus talked about when a brother repents, you've gained him. That gives you the idea if he doesn't repent, Matthew 18, what happens to him? He gets put out of the body. You don't gain him. So the forgiveness comes with when people that are striving to be forgiven. Amen. God has a mercy of well of forgiveness. You're not going to get his forgiveness unless you ask to be forgiven, right? So for this teaching, the difference that I really want to make here again is the difference between false doctrine teaching and sins of the flesh. There is a difference. Let me give you a few examples. David fell into a sin of the flesh, adultery, and yeah, premeditated murder. Yep, it was premeditated, no doubt about it. But he lived on and he was forgiven and beloved by God. But a false prophet of that day, David's day, that would speak anything that was a lie or not true, they were stoned to death on the spot. So you see the difference between a false teacher and someone acting out in their flesh. In the New Testament, we're told to mark and warn and reject false teachers in Titus 3. It does say, warn them, mark them, avoid them. Titus 3, Romans 16, 17. But those that are in sins of the flesh, we're told over and over to call out to them, pull them out of fire, help them. Jude says even hating their garments. You see the difference there? Yeah, doctrine versus sins of the flesh. I'm going to give you some more verses to kind of round this out. I've been working through my Titus verse-by-verse study, and I noticed the word doctrine pops up 3 or 4 times. Titus 2:10, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that ye may be, that ye may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior in all things. I like that, adorning the doctrines of God. It's the only adorning we're supposed to do, right? We're not supposed to show our bodies off. We're not supposed to be in pride, but we adorn the doctrines of God. So doctrines, I really hammer on this. Doctrine means teaching and instruction. And we are to hold to the teachings of the New Testament body as given by Jesus, Paul, and the other apostles. That's what we're supposed to do. Matthew 28:20, Jesus said, go preach the gospel in Mark 16, baptizing them, making disciples, and teaching them to obey everything he's commanded. This is doctrine. This is how we know how to follow Jesus. How can you follow Jesus and please him biblically if you don't know the doctrines and you don't know the roadmap of how to walk in his ways that please him? You can't. So doctrine and instruction is very, very, very important. And I can tell you for 15 years I've been walking in it. I would say after the first year, we had, I always tell people, 95% of our doctrine down pat that we have today. Yeah, after the first year, with nobody helping us. Just the Spirit and the Word, all to his glory, not mine. I would tell you that walking in doctrine, sound doctrine, is not hard. I gave up Christmas. I haven't set up a tree by mistake in 15 years. I gave up Easter. I haven't broken any Easter eggs open and got them out for 15 years. Following sound doctrine is not hard once you know how to do it. But you know what is hard? Constantly keeping your flesh in order, not causing you to have a bad thought, a bad feeling, a bad action on the spur of the moment. That's really hard. That's something we got to strive at every single day. And the Bible talks about that over and over and over. Anybody who reads or knows anything about Scripture, the warning in the New Testament is your flesh can lead you astray. The two big warnings in the New Testament are your flesh and false teaching. Yeah, that's the two big warnings. Can you think of any other warnings that are more critical than false teaching and your flesh? No. Romans 8:1. There's no condemnation in Christ for those who walk according to the Spirit, not the flesh. The Spirit always leads you into truth and doctrine. The flesh leads you into sin and corruption. And we know because of what Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:16 that sound doctrine is part of our salvation. He said, hold to sound doctrine. In doing so, you'll save yourself and those that hear you. Why? We're saved by works? No. We're saved by the blood of Christ and his perfect righteousness. And then the fruit we have it is we walk in the Holy Spirit, in the word, in the truth, keeping sound doctrine. If you have Christ, you have the truth. You live the truth. If you don't have Christ, you don't walk in the truth. You don't have the truth. So 1 Timothy 4:16 talks about sound doctrine saves us. So doctrine's very important. And I'm going to give you some verses that show that Jesus and Paul make it clear the difference between teaching or doctrinal sin and sins of our flesh. Here you go. Here's an example. Ready? One of my favorite verses. I quote it all the time. Jesus, regarding doctrine and false teachers, Mark 7:7-9. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold to the traditions of men, and washing of pots and cups, and many such things you do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandments of God, that ye may keep your own traditions. What a harsh rebuke. Did you catch that? Full well they know. Premeditated, thought out, ongoing, willful sin. They didn't just fall into this in their flesh. It wasn't just a thought in the happenstance. This is something they practice. Practicing false doctrine versus just falling into a flesh sin. There's a big, big difference. Psalm 5:5, the scripture says, God hates workers of iniquity. Now think about that. When you're a worker, if you work at McDonald's, what do? You work at flipping burgers. You work at making french fries. You work at cleaning the restaurant up. When you're a worker of iniquity, you work at iniquity. You see that willful act? That's a willful act. And God is saying he hates workers of iniquity. But then the very same Savior says to the woman accused of sexual sin, he says this in John 8:10-11. When Jesus lifted himself up, saw none but the woman, and he said to her, where are thine accusers? Remember, they accused her of adultery. They were going to stone her to death. She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Do you see how harsh Jesus was with false teachers? But the woman caught in a fleshly sin, he forgave her and said, go sin no more. Yeah, there's a difference between these sins. That's what I'm trying to get at. She was caught up in a sin of the flesh. That can happen to anyone in an instant. But doctrinal sin and false teaching takes ongoing effort, premeditation, willful acts of rebellion. Jesus said, full well they know and they do it. I hope you're seeing my point in this. There's a difference between giving grace and mercy to someone struggling in their flesh when they know it's wrong, to giving grace and mercy to false teachers that willfully deceive and destroy souls with false teaching and false gospels. How about Apostle Paul? Let's use him for an example. In Titus 1:10-11, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Yeah, Paul went right after them over sound doctrine, didn't he? And they're keeping false ways. Yeah, so he's right after those false teachers that are willfully doing those things for filthy lucre. That's money. But then in Romans 7, what does Paul say about himself? Well, we know Paul was always teaching sound doctrine. He wasn't keeping false ways. He wasn't deceiving people. What does Paul say about his own fleshly condition? Ready? Romans 7:14-25. He says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For the good I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, I serve the law of sin. Paul perfectly illustrates flesh versus willful false teaching right there. Paul battled his flesh like we all do. You can have a bad thought. You can have a bad feeling. You can choose something quickly. You can fall into something quickly. And then you can repent and get out of it just as fast. That's a lot different than over and over and over teaching false doctrine, heresy, deception, sin, and wickedness. You see what I'm talking about? Paul was dealing with his flesh, not false doctrine. He wasn't keeping heretical ways. False teachers, my experience, 100%. False teachers are deceivers, doing it on purpose, even when they know it's false. I have not met one modern pastor out of over 1,000 that I've talked to, met with, communicated with, and asked to repent of even doctrines they know is sinful. I don't know one modern pastor that's repented of any false doctrine. Not one. They are willful deceivers, and that's why Jesus and Paul and the Old Testament was brutal with false teachers and deceivers, because they're often, most often, always willful deceivers. Have you noticed in both the Old and the New Testament how false teachers are handled? First of all, teachers are held to a very high standard. In Psalm 119:104, the psalmist says, "I hate every false way." We can assume that means God too, right? Because God just said in Proverbs 6, he hates a lying tongue. That's false ways. Revelation 21, Revelation 22 says, "Lies will damn you." God hates lies. He hates every false way. But Jesus said of the tax collector who knew he was sinful and cried out to God, he said, "He'll be justified before that religious Pharisee." Yeah, that tax collector obviously had sins of the flesh. He was not walking in teaching sins of false doctrine. You see the difference here? The teachers are held to a high standard. Their sins are different than people that don't know God or struggle in sin flesh, fleshly sin, sins of the flesh. There's a big difference here, okay? You want more evidence? How about this? Hebrews 10:26 talks about there's no more sacrifice for those who sin willfully. They're not covered by Christ's blood. Go read that. Hebrews 10:26 and 27. So what this means is if you know something's a false doctrine like Christmas, Easter, Good Friday, whatever you do, and you keep doing it year after year to appease your wife, the pastor, your fellowship, whatever, you're in willful sin. You're willingly doing it and not fighting against it. Versus if you know you're not supposed to look at a woman with lust, and that's a weakness of yours, and you're at the store one day and you look and, oh, you have a bad thought, and you go, "Wow, I'm sorry, Lord, I repent of that," and you turn and go the other way, and then maybe 2 weeks later it happens again and you say, "Lord, my wicked flesh, what I want to do I don't do, what I don't want to do I do do." Hey, that's what Paul was talking about. I don't know what his sin was, but you get my point. You're fighting it. You see it. You're standing against it. You're not willful in it. You're not teaching it to others. Imagine the man looking at lust at women and he's married to another woman, and then he's teaching other young men, "Yeah, you can do that. It's okay. God forgives you." He's a wicked false teacher. I hope you see the difference here between sins of doctrine, teachings, and then sins of our flesh that can stumble us. False teaching and false doctrines don't happen the way I just showed you, like the man having a lustful thought or an angry thought. False teaching doesn't pop up that way. False teaching takes premeditation, does it not? How about some more examples? Jesus said, we talked about this, when you look with lust or you hate your brother, you've committed adultery or murder already. Those are sins of the flesh. Those can overtake us in a heartbeat, can they not? It can. Let's admit it. All of us can fall into any evil, wicked thoughts or feelings. Hebrews 3:13 says, exhort each other daily lest you be caught up in the deceitfulness of sin. Caught up in it. You're not seeking it. It finds you and catches up your flesh. That can happen to anybody without premeditation actions. It's inside us because of the fall of Adam and Eve. We can control it. It can get much better. I've gotten much better over the years, but I still must be on guard always. We're instructed to walk in the Spirit, set our minds on things above, and that helps us overcome the flesh. Go read the book of Galatians, chapter 5 especially. Then on the flip side, Jesus called the Pharisees hypocrites over and over in Matthew 23 about 8 times, as they lived in their doctrinal hypocrisy, pride, and arrogance. Interesting. Big difference here. You seeing the difference? Questions for you to prove this point I'm trying to make. When was the last time you just blurted out a false gospel to somebody? Doesn't happen, does it? You got to premeditate it. How about when was the last time you set up an altar to a pagan god and a pagan holiday in your house just out of the blue? And you said, "Oh my, what did I do?" Never happens, does it? It's got to be premeditated. How about when was the last time you added or purposely took away from the Word of God on purpose and shared it with somebody? Hey, I'm just going to do that today. Doesn't happen. That's a willful act you premeditate and you do. See the pattern. See what I'm talking about here. The difference between doctrinal sin that God judges harshly, false teachers, and sins of the flesh that we call to people to come out of. God is rich in mercy and grace, and he understands our plight. You know, it's a lot like why God allowed Moses to give out divorce decrees. Why? Well, Jesus said because of the hardness of men's hearts. Yeah, that's true. But there's another reason. You know why? God was merciful and long-suffering. Those women would be abused in those marriages with no chance of any kind of life when the husband puts them out. But yet, if they got a divorce decree, they could get remarried maybe to somebody that loved them and give them a life. Because back then, you couldn't really live and work outside as a woman. You'd have been a prostitute or homeless. So God was merciful and allowed divorce decrees so they could go and get remarried. God is merciful for our sinful flesh. He doesn't kill us on the spot. But there are times when if we carry our sin flesh, our sins of our flesh too far, God will take us out. Ready? Acts 5. A couple, Ananias and Sapphira, are killed over a sin of lying, right? Well, lying is a premeditated thing. When was the last time you just lied for no reason? Now, if you didn't know you lied, then it's not really a lie. You're confused. But purposely lie. They lied to the Holy Spirit about money, land they sold and money they were going to give. Both of them did it. And they both were killed by the Holy Spirit. This wasn't something they stumbled into. This was something they planned, a deceit. Like a false doctrine. They knew it was wrong to lie. That's doctrine. Okay? And it happened to them. And God judged them and killed them as an example for all of us. So I hope you can see the difference I'm trying to hammer home here between sins of false teaching and doctrine versus the sin of the flesh that we're all going to battle the rest of our life till we get on the other side. We can walk in solid doctrine, but our flesh will always be there ready to trip us up. That's what I'm talking about here. I have people that ask me this because I do expose false teachers. I'm well known on the internet for doing it, along with my teaching and my street preaching. They'll say, oh, so you think you're perfect? And I say, yes and no. And they always look at me with a stunned look. They go, yes and no. And I said, let me explain. I believe I'm walking in perfect doctrine today. If I didn't think I was teaching every doctrine perfectly, I would change it. Doesn't that make sense? That's like when you drive your car. Are you keeping every law perfectly? I hope you believe you are, because if you didn't know you were not keeping one, wouldn't you change it so that you could keep it and not get a ticket? So yeah, I believe for the heart of God or the glory of God, I'm keeping perfect sound doctrine as I've been taught. But in my flesh, I must battle every day to walk in purity and holiness and avoid stumbling, avoid being tempted, avoid falling into sin. Doctrine is different than the flesh. Doctrine and teachings, I got a handle on that. I've walked in them for years. I don't set up pagan Christmas trees. I don't do pagan Easter. I don't write words in my Bible adding them to the Word of God. I don't call myself titles I shouldn't. I don't preach a false gospel. Doctrine, this is, the Holy Spirit has taught me sound doctrine. But now I have this flesh that I can't get rid of this side of heaven. And God says, this is your burden to bear. Yeah, Jesus talked about the burdens to bear. Many trials and tribulations you will go through. God knows that. And that's why we lean on him all the more, right? We lean on him all the more. So doctrine and teachings I've got a handle on. But I tell people, this is my flesh that I'm not perfect at. And I give grace and mercy for everyone's flesh. But I don't give grace and mercy for false teachers. And no one should give me grace and mercy for my false teaching. Do you see the difference there? If you fall into a sin 10 times and you repent and say it's wrong 10 times, I'll help you up 10 times. But if you fall into that sin and go, I like it, here I'm staying, I ain't helping you up. I can't. Can't help somebody till they want help with their sin. Can't help a drug addict till they cry out and say, I'm a drug addict, help me. You can't help a false teacher until they say, I don't want to teach false, I want to teach truth and righteousness. But they do get called out. Why? Because they're cancer and leaven, and they're going to destroy many people's lives with their teaching. Remember Paul said their mouths must be stopped because they're destroying houses? So any man that's hearing this, you think I got doctrines wrong. I get emails all the time. Email me. Show me in the Word of God. I'll test every. I love testing to the Word of God. Any doctrine I got wrong, I will repent of publicly and correct. You can call me out on it, hold my feet to the fire, and if I'm wrong on it and you show me it in Scripture, I'll repent of it publicly. I got no pride in this. None. I got nothing. I tell people all the time, all I have is the truth and the Word of God. So I've been sharpening my sword for a long time. That's why your iron gets sharp when you're sharpening it on the Word of God, the Hebrews 4:12 sword. And any men that want to sharpen with me, I love that. But the flesh is a different matter. We can't totally cause it to conform. But over time, by walking in the Spirit, by keeping our eyes on Christ, by crucifying our flesh, oh, it gets much better. Mine's gone from a 10, maybe a 1 or 2 on really good days. Yeah. But it's always there. And that roaring lion, Satan, is there to trip us up using our flesh. Most often, he's there to use our flesh. So email me. And how can I be so arrogant about knowing truth and doctrine? Go read John 14 and John 16. The Spirit of truth will teach you all truth. I'm counting on it. God said it. I'm standing on it. After 15 years, I think I know all truth and doctrine that God wants me to walk in. How can I not believe that? What kind of father would not give his children all of the truth to walk in after many, many, many years? I think I had it after the first year fully because we were Bereans and God's Spirit is so awesome and the Word is so awesome. What kind of father wouldn't give his son all truth? How foolish and blasphemous for these false teachers to tell me you can't know all truth. They're calling God a liar. I won't fall for it. I don't believe it one bit. So people can get angry at me when I expose these false teachers. That doesn't bother me one bit. I'm called to do it. Jude said, earnestly contend for the faith. We're supposed to call them out. Paul did. Jesus did. John the Baptist lost his head calling out not so much a teacher, but calling out a leader over a doctrine. He married his brother's wife when he shouldn't have. I can see doctrinal sin versus sins of the flesh. It's very, very different. It's clear in Scripture. Paul and Jesus saw it differently. And I'm like them. I'm full of mercy and forgiveness for sins of the flesh. I battle it. I'll help others battle it. When they repent of it, they want to come out of it. If I repent, I want to be forgiven. I get it. But not so with false doctrines. Meaning, if you walk in them and won't repent of them, there's a different level. Now, if somebody repents of false doctrine, absolutely, we forgive them. Now, if they walked in a lot of false doctrine and they were teachers and they had to repent of a lot of false doctrine, they may want to step down from teaching for a while, because where did that false doctrine come from? Didn't come from the Word and the Spirit. They invented it or they learned it from somebody else. That means they're not seasoned enough to be discerning. They may not be teachers at all, but that's kind of another whole topic. So, kind of rounding out this teaching, in love, I would challenge any of you to find anywhere that I've ever called out a person for their sins of the flesh that they're struggling against knowing it's sinful. Yeah, I've never done that. You know, I've called out the sin of gluttony. I've never called out a person wrestling with the sin of gluttony that says, I know it's wrong and I'm doing my best against it. I've never called that person out. You know the people that got called out for the sin of gluttony? The people that live in all kinds of sin as hypocrites, and they won't call out the sin of gluttony while they're fat gluttons. That's hypocrisy. Jesus called them out for that, and I will too. And so did Paul and all the rest of the men of God. So Romans 16:17 tells us to mark and avoid those who leave sound doctrine and cause division. I stand on that. It's how you keep your house pure, your life pure. It's how you walk in the Word of God. It's how you glorify God. And really, by walking in sound doctrine, you really do help your flesh conform. Let me give you an example. Doctrine says, do not love the world or the things of the world, or the love of the Father is not in you. Don't be a friend of the world, James 4:4. I used to love sports and ice hockey and stuff like that. I gave it all up. You know what? My flesh has been crucified so much because I gave it up. If I was still walking in that false doctrine and titillating myself with all that, I'd be living in sin. But I've gotten that flesh way down to a manageable level. So there's no excuse for false gospels, pagan holidays, heretically twisting the Word of God, excusing carnal worldly behaviors, overlooking lascivious prideful dress, all these things that are sound doctrine teachings, those get exposed, just like the men in the Bible did. But for people that wrestle with sins of the flesh and they're trying to fight against them, oh, grace overflows 7 times 70 all day, like I said. Maybe my best example I saved for the last. Ready? Apostle Paul, Galatians 5:12. Paul tells false teachers to cut their manhood off. Yeah, I won't get any more graphic than that. Cut their manhood off. Go look up the word emasculate. That's what he says about false teachers, those that are teaching a false gospel. But later in that same chapter, what does he say in Galatians 5:22 through 26 to the saints? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. For the people that were striving in the sound doctrines and striving to leave their sins, Paul has patience and gentleness and long-suffering. For the people teaching false gospels and heresy, Paul says, go cut your manhood off. If that doesn't give you the exact point of what I'm trying to make here, I don't think I'm going to be able to convince you at all. False doctrine, heretical teachings are always condemned and called out unmercilessly in the New Testament and the Old. But those who struggle to live holy and battle their flesh and see it and try to repent and do what they can to pluck out, rip off, cut out, I get it. We're told to help them and pull them out. James 5:19-20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, one converteth him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save the soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Yeah, I love that. Pull them out. Help them. So I hope you'll ponder the difference between doctrinal sin and sins of the flesh. One is a willful act of rebellion against God that goes on and deceives others. And willfully deceives others and damns souls with lies and heresy outside of God's truth. The other is an act of our fallen sinful nature that can flare up in a moment's notice. It really only affects us. We're not teaching it to other people and we're battling it, flesh versus the spirit. If you think about this, one shows your evil heart against God in defiance and rebellion, right? Because you're willfully doing it, telling lies that God hates. The other one shows that you have a fallen flesh. Your spirit man wants to do right, but the flesh, as Paul said, what I want to do, I don't do. What I don't want to do, I do do. It shows how much you need Christ, his spirit, his word, how much you need his grace and his mercy, and that keeps you humble and keeps you trying and striving towards him. Yeah, see the difference of the mindset between a false teacher and those who keep false doctrine? You know, people that keep false doctrines like pagan holidays, they do it to please other people and themselves. Yeah, but when your flesh falls into sin, unless you're premeditating it and doing it, you have to be careful what is your motivation. Because, yeah, even a sin of the flesh can be premeditated and it can go against doctrine. Oh, of course. Not saying it can't. But most times what I'm talking about here is things just coming out of nowhere. Thoughts, emotions, an action, and then you go, oh, wow, I did that real quick. Shouldn't have done that. You catch it quick. You're not out there propagating it, teaching it, thinking about it, planning it, conniving it. It's a lot like in the law system. If they can prove you did a crime and it was a mistake versus premeditated, which one's going to get the worst sentence? Yeah, that's what this is. The false teaching is often premeditated. Sins of the flesh are often something that just happens to you. But we can be wise. We don't have to let it happen to us all the time. And I want to be clear, I'll close this. I said at the beginning, I'll say it again. Both types of sins will damn your soul. I'm not saying one is going to let you go scot-free, no. If it's any sin that's left unrepented for, you're going to suffer the consequences. But clearly, the Word of God sees and handles them differently. Sins of false teaching and false doctrine versus sins of the flesh that can just overtake you quickly. God is so full of mercy and grace and loving. He knows those who are battling against that flesh. He also knows those that are willfully teaching false doctrines to be popular, to be making money, to fill up their pews, to not lose their family, to keep their pride and vanity. God knows that too. And he's going to rightly judge one day when there's a great reckoning that is coming. I hope it's your heart, it is mine, to live in the full light of God's truth and holiness because of the gospel. Go check out the gospel, don'tperish.com. Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Repenting in his perfect work to be born from above. Holiness and obedience is the fruit, not living in your flesh or false doctrine. And enduring, that means coming out of your flesh, testing all things unto eternal life. I hope that made sense to you. Test me to the word of God. I love you all. Got to go do some more online work. We got another storm rolling in. Bunch of days of rain. But you know what? When you got Christ and the light and the word, you always had the hope and the light, no matter what darkness comes against you. Hey, I love you all. Check out our website and all the resources. Till next time, God bless me come to you again. May our Heavenly Father and our glorious Savior be lifted on high. God be praised.